How many of you have a tree this year? Raise your hand. You went with a tree? That's customary, you know? I think that's right. Most people do that. That was nearly 100%, I think, of hands in the room that went up. So that's not a trick. I'm not trying to get money out of you or something, you know? So of those, I want you to keep your hand in the air for a minute. Put your hand up if you have a tree this year. How many of you have a real tree? Okay, how many of you, of those who, if you have a real tree, how many of you are, this is your first year in Colorado? Okay, we got a few. Next year, you're going to get a fake one. I guarantee it. Colorado is not friendly to real trees. It's a dry place. It's hard to keep that tree vibrant and looking like it ought to naturally. My wife and I, our first year here in Colorado, 21 years ago, we didn't have a tree. We had one. This was in seminary days. It was about, you know, 3 feet tall or something like that, and very small. We're going to go out and get a legitimate tree from a, you know, legitimate place, legitimate lot. So we did. We brought it home, put it in, and the first 2 days were amazing, and everything went downhill after that. You know the story, right? If you've ever had a real tree and it went a little dry on you, well, this one went real dry. And in fact, I was worried about having warm thoughts around it. I was worried every time the thermostat would kick on the heater, you know, that the thing was just going to spontaneously combust. It was a real fire hazard. And then when the day came, Christmas had passed, and it was time to take it down. There is no clean and neat way to do that. And needles are exploding all over our house. It was crazy. And we found it in our cereal bowls weeks later, you know. So enjoy your real tree this year. Now, some of you are really good at that. I'm sure you know how to treat the tree and make sure that it does well and that it flourishes. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, is flourishing. Not for trees, but for us. What does it look like for us to flourish? What do we need to really be all that God intends us to be and created us to be? What does it look like to flourish as human beings? We've been, as a church, for the last few weeks, going through a series called The Reason for the Season. And it's been a series where we've looked at the purpose statements of Jesus. We know the reason for the season is Jesus, right? But what was the reason for Jesus? And so we've been looking at the explicit statements of Jesus about why he came. What did Jesus say about his mission, his purpose in coming? And all of that helps us to understand just a little more about what Christmas is really all about. We've seen that Jesus said that he came to preach the good news of the gospel of God's grace in salvation. We've seen that Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost, and what good news that is for all of us. We've seen that Jesus came to fulfill Scripture. He is the promised Messiah. And just yesterday in church, we saw that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and not to judge, but to save. All of that is good news for humanity, good news for us on this Christmas Eve. Tonight, in the few minutes that we have together, I want us to see that Jesus came also to give life. Jesus came to give life. And we find this clear statement of purpose made by Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10:10. Let me give you the context a little bit. I'm going to have most of the scriptures on the screen behind me, so in case you didn't bring your Bibles or whatever, and we'll just make it easy to follow along tonight. The context of John 10:10 is this. Jesus is using an extended analogy to teach. An analogy about a shepherd and his sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. Those who believe and trust in him are his sheep. That's the analogy. Now, shepherds and sheep are very common in Jesus' day. In fact, Jesus' birth, as you may recall and as we just read, was first announced to shepherds. Announced to shepherds by angels. Any shepherds here tonight? A little love to the shepherds? Nope. Yeah, we're a little bit removed from Jesus' day, right? In Jesus' day, there would have been a lot of hands that would have gone up in a room when I asked, any shepherds here tonight? Lots of people had sheep. Some people raised them commercially. We're a little bit removed from that. No shepherds here tonight. It's safe to say that in the world of the New Testament, practically everyone knew a shepherd. Jesus here in John chapter 10 is using this extended illustration where he presents himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? What does he look like? What does a good shepherd accomplish in a day's work? Jesus presents himself as that good shepherd in this illustration. And so this is what John 10:10 says. You can see it on the screen behind me. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, the good shepherd, came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Now, you may be here and you don't consider yourself a believer. You don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus. And you may be saying, hey, I've already got a life. I'm a living, breathing human being. I've got a pretty good life, in fact. Things are going pretty well for me. What in the world do I need Jesus for? I'm pretty happy. I've got a good job. Things are going pretty well. What can Jesus possibly give me that I don't already have? Good question. I'm here to share with you tonight and help you to see that these blessings you have are indeed good, but they were never intended to satisfy the thirst of your soul. You were created for something more, something bigger, something more than anything this world can provide. God has made us, and he's made us with a longing for more. It was C.S. Lewis who said this: if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And we were. A world untouched by sin. A world in perfect harmony with the Creator. But that's not the world we live in. That's not the world we're born into. That's not the world that trains us to seek the next thing that will satisfy the thirst of our souls, only to find that it doesn't satisfy and it could never satisfy. We were created for another world. Jesus came to give us life, the life we were made for, the life we were made to have, the life we can only have when we are reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that all of us, just like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us have gone its own way and turned away. Sheep on their own very naturally wander off. They go astray. That's just what we've done. We've wandered off of God's path. We've wandered away from God's pen of protection. And this wandering is called sin. And the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned, every one of us. We've lied and we've lusted, we've cheated and we've envied, we've been sinfully angry and we've been selfish. And all of this sin has separated us from God because he, unlike us, is holy. He's completely sinless. He is separate from sin. He must maintain a separation from sin. Because of our sin, we have been separated from God. Because he is holy and just, God must also punish sin. But God also loves us, and so he sent his only Son so that that Son would be born, grow up, live a sinless life, and die in the place of sinners and rebels like us. John 10:11, the very next verse says this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's just what Jesus did for us. That's what he came to do. He came to give us life. And the way he could give us life was to lay down his own life. to sacrifice himself as a sinless substitute. On the cross, Jesus bore our sin and took our guilt. And God the Father poured out his just wrath upon Jesus for our sins, for our guilt. And Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. But then on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over the grave, showing that God the Father was pleased with his Son's sacrifice. And now he offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who will put their faith in him. All those who put their faith in him receive eternal life. Eternal life. Life eternal. Now, eternal life is not just a word that speaks of unending life. It also speaks of the richness of it, the fullness of it, the purposefulness of it. It's a life that only Jesus can give. It's a life of meaning and fulfillment, a life of divine blessing. It is an abundant life. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Listen to what one author says about this abundant life. Jesus calls his followers not to a dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but to a rich, full, joyful life, one overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God and in continual fellowship with his people. That's the abundant life. Jesus says that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is just what our enemy does. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He seeks to destroy our lives, to captivate us with the next best thing, to continue to sell us the lie that something other than God will satisfy the thirst of our souls. And it's just not true. But Jesus has come that we might have life, that we might experience what it means to flourish as God's special creation, human beings. A life of fulfillment, a life of happiness. This abundant life that Jesus has come to secure for us includes having peace with God. It includes knowing that your sins are forgiven. It includes having a purpose in life that aligns with God's purposes. It includes a peace that passes understanding. It includes joy that is rooted in your knowledge of God and in the peace that you have with God and not in your personal circumstances. It includes the blessings of fellowship with other believers, the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. All of this and more is what it means when Jesus says he has come to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. John 20:31. John explains the reason that he wrote his gospel, the gospel of John. These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name. That believing in Jesus, you may have life in his name. That's the abundant life, the life of flourishing that Jesus came to give us. Life, true life, can only be experienced through faith in Jesus. It is only when we are rightly related to Jesus that we begin to experience true life as we were made to live it. John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go out, in and out, and find pasture. Notice the way to be saved is to enter through the door. Who is Jesus? Here, Jesus switches up the illustration a little bit. Before he was a shepherd, now he's a door. A door into the sheep pen where there is safety and security. A door in the sheep pen where the shepherd leads the sheep in and out day and night to find pasture. The picture is of a sheep that's flourishing, coming in and out of the sheep pen, well guarded. But the only way into this flock is through the door. Who is the Lord Jesus? It is only as we come through the door of Jesus Christ that we find the rest for our souls and the abundance that Jesus came to give us. Jesus made this even clearer elsewhere. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus is the exclusive doorway to the Father and all the blessings that God promises to those who exalt His Son and receive His Son as Savior and Lord. Jesus is the only way to have peace with God and eternal life. Jesus came to give us life. That's what we celebrate this Christmas season. And it's a life of abundance, a life of peace with God, a life overflowing with a sense of the blessing of God. Who doesn't want the blessing of God on their life? Who doesn't want that heavenly word of approval? This is what we celebrate at Christmas time, that Jesus came to secure just that for us, that heavenly word of approval, that word of welcome from God Himself, that word of, and declaration that we are justified, declared righteous in God's sight, not because we are righteous, not because of anything we've done, simply because we've trusted in Jesus Christ and Christ has paid it all. That's the beauty of the gospel. Do you have this life today, this life of abundance that Jesus came, the purpose of Christmas, the purpose of the incarnation, was so that you might have life in His name? Do you have that life today? Do you know your sins are forgiven? This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, so that you may have life and have it abundantly in Him. Today, right now, you can know that your sins are forgiven, all of them, past, present, and future, by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. You know, Christmas is really all about the hope and joy that only Jesus can provide. Hope and joy that are part of the life abundant that Jesus came to bring us. Make sure, make certain, before you leave here tonight, that it's yours, that abundant life is yours through faith in Christ alone. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for humbling yourself and making yourself obedient unto death, even a death on the cross, all so that you might bring us to God, all so that you might bring about our ransom, our rescue, our deliverance from sin and guilt and judgment. Thank you for taking our sin upon yourself, our judgment, our punishment, and bearing it on the cross. And thank you for offering us forgiveness full and free, simply as a gift by faith in you. Lord Jesus, I pray that any here tonight who aren't sure if they're a Christian, if they're not sure that their sins are forgiven, that they would simply place their faith and trust in Christ even now, even as we're singing, to just pray a simple prayer to God and ask Him to forgive them of their sins on the basis of Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. Lord Jesus, we exalt Your name tonight. You are the Word made flesh dwelling among us. Lord, may we behold Your glory through the pages of Your Word, even as we long to behold Your glory face to face one day. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen.